You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week we continue our journey through John's Gospel with the message, Finding the Sweet Spot in Following Jesus, from John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Let's listen in.
So we took a little time with the children, but didn't we need to hear from them? We certainly did. They blessed us. They sang. And we pray for them that they would come to the place of faith, that they would believe everything that John is writing in his gospel. About a year or two ago, I was experiencing some heart palpitations. You ever had those? And for about a month, it just felt like my heart was flipping over inside. Especially I could feel it when I was resting, sitting. It just flipped. I went to the doctor and he gave me some medication to take and he said, leave off caffeine and certain other things. And after a couple of weeks, everything was back to normal. My heart was beating in the sweet spot of rhythm. You know what the sweet spot is? The sweet spot is that place where things work at their optimum efficiency. Their maximum effectiveness, like a baseball player who tries to connect with the sweet spot of the bat to get the hit or the home run. My lawn tractor has a little notch in the throttle lever where it's designed to run at its best, that little notch. I have a generator. You crank it up, it has a choke lever. If it's too far in, if it's too far out, the engine just spits and sputters, but if you get it just right, it'll run smoothly for hours. That's the sweet spot. I have a sweet spot when I walk. Not too fast, not too slow, but it's just right. And when we're walking for exercise, our sweet spot is the same. If we are in the mall, my sweet spot is the same. Judy's is not. Or anywhere else we're walking in public, my sweet spot seems to be the same, no matter where we are. But, you know, I think there is a sweet spot in our spiritual life, too. In following Jesus, there is a sweet spot. There is a place where we can thrive regardless of our external circumstances. We can thrive as a follower of Jesus. It's like the spiritual heart is beating in rhythm, and that spiritual engine is at its maximum effectiveness. Have you found that sweet spot in your own life? Have you found it? That place where you can thrive? Some of you are experiencing spiritual heart palpitations. You feel like you're just going through the motions. You don't know what it is, but something is not right. Something's out of rhythm, and you find very little joy in your Christian life, and just coming to church seems to be a chore, doesn't it? Does any of that sound familiar? And even your motivation to serve the church seems to be declining because you're just not in that sweet spot. I know that some of you are there because we all get there. I get there. So how do you find that sweet spot and live there? I think the passage today gives us some lessons that we can follow to find that sweet spot. Well, John's gospel was complete with John 20, 30, and 31. He said, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And he could have written right there, the end, exclamation point. Because all that John wrote to prove the Messiahship of Jesus, that Jesus was God's Messiah, was written in chapters 1 through 20. Why is chapter 21 here? Why is it necessary? Well, I think it's here because it's an epilogue that shows belief in progress. It shows us a picture of what following Jesus looks like. Here in this chapter, we see how Jesus relates to us, and we see how we relate to Jesus. So this scene takes place in Galilee. Jesus had told the disciples to go to Galilee from Jerusalem and meet him there, wait for him there. So Peter and some of the disciples who were with him, Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And those who were with him says, "We'll come too." And it's a similar scene to one that occurred 3 years before this, when Jesus first called his disciples in Luke 5. The Sea of Galilee, it's a group of men in a boat. Jesus tells them where to fish. They do as he says, and there is a miraculous catch of fish in both instances. The scene in Luke 5 is very similar to this one in John 21. So what lessons are here for us? So let's take a look. Four lessons: community, obedience, partnership, and grace. Finding the sweet spot in following Jesus involves community. Look at verse 2. Here we have Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, John, and two other disciples, and they were what? They were together. They were together. There's an unmistakable emphasis all the way through the Bible on the community of God. Unmistakable. Before God formed the church, we see community in the nation of Israel. Before he formed the nation of Israel, we see community in the family altars of the patriarchs. And if we go all the way back to the beginning, before time began, we see community in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, an eternal fellowship, eternal community. Here, Jesus meets with a group of men and by the Sea of Galilee, and he's there to encourage and strengthen their unity, their community. So we can't get away from the fact that following Jesus is about being in community. But we live in a time where individualism is elevated and even worshiped, to the point that we say, what I say is really all that matters. But if that's true, if what you say is all that matters, then how can God ever correct you through his word? How can his Holy Spirit ever redirect your life if you're only listening to what you say is right? How can other Christians ever give counsel to your life if all that you're listening to is yourself? If you want to thrive in following Jesus, if you want to find that sweet spot, then embrace his community. Commit yourself to it. Devote yourself to his church. It's his bride. And we are to be devoted to it, committed to it. Make a commitment to love and serve the bride of Christ, his community. After all, he expects us to do that, which brings us to the second point, obedience. Finding the sweet spot in following Jesus involves obedience. Look at verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Now get the scene in your mind. It's early morning and they had been fishing all night with nothing to show for it. You don't ask professional fishermen, "Don't you have any fish?" And they have to say, "No." Well, most of these disciples were fishermen by trade. And Jesus says, "Haven't you any fish?" And after all night long, they had to say, "No." And they heard his voice from about 100 yards away. That's about a football field's length, or from where I'm standing to over in the Methodist parking lot. So get that image in your mind. Early morning, the light is probably dim. There's Jesus way on the lake shore. And he calls out to them. And the man tells them where to fish. They follow his instructions. And then suddenly, the net is full of fish. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. And I wonder, while that was taking place, did that miraculous catch from 3 years before enter their minds? When they heard Jesus say, throw the net on the other side of the boat, did they think back 3 years earlier when Jesus said the very same thing and the very same result happened, that their net was suddenly full of fish? Did they think to themselves, could this be Jesus? And as soon as John saw the net full of fish, he said, it's the Lord. And then Peter immediately grabbed his outer garment and he jumped in the water to get to Jesus as fast as he could. They worked all night in their own strength and caught nothing. They obeyed Jesus and immediately found the sweet spot of fishing. They listened to Jesus instead of listening to themselves. When we do things His way, He makes our lives fruitful and efficient and effective. If we would just listen and do things His way, we would find that fruit in our lives. In fact, He came to give us life to the full. He said that. It's when we follow His ways that that happens. Now, please don't misunderstand. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel that a lot of people preach. That if you do everything right, then God will give you wealth, He'll give you health, and everything will go right in your life. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe that's what Scripture teaches. It certainly didn't happen for Jesus that way, and why would we expect anything different than the way Jesus lived? I mean, who could live a more perfect life than Jesus did? Yet He was crucified for it. So I don't think being a Christian is about following rules, but I do think thriving as a Christian means that you want to be obedient to the commands of Christ. I mean, I think that just is in you, that you want to be obedient more than you want anything else to the commands of Christ. And the reason Christians should strive to be obedient is because Jesus was obedient to the Father. And He is our model, so we try to imitate Him. In fact, Paul tells us in Philippians that our attitude should be the same as that of Christ, who was obedient even unto death. So we should strive to be obedient because He was obedient. And even though we can't be obedient like He was, it should be our desire to be obedient. It's when we desire obedience and we strive for that, that Jesus fills our nets with peace and hope and joy and purpose and fullness and more. And you see, at that point, health and wealth don't matter so much anymore because you're full of Christ. Now, imagine Jesus calling out to you, friend, haven't you any hope? Then quit looking for it there and look for it here. Or friend, haven't you any joy? Haven't you any purpose in your life? Then quit looking for it there and follow me. And if we would just listen to what Jesus tells us, what God's Word tells us, if we would just obey it, or at least try to obey it, to want to. If you want to thrive in following Jesus, if you want to find that sweet spot, then strive to obey Jesus, even though you know you can't. And I'm going to come back to obedience in just a moment. But the third lesson is that of partnership. Finding the sweet spot in following Jesus involves partnership. Look at verse 8. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Now, there's been a lot of speculation about this number of fish, 153. And there have been formulas that have been calculated to explain the significance of that number. But it's likely that John said there were 153 fish because there were 153 fish. That's probably why. It's a historical detail, like being 100 yards away, or that Peter grabbed his outer garment before he jumped into the water. There were 150 fish, and John recorded it. So if you get into numbers and numerology and all that, good luck, but probably there were 153 fish. And notice that Jesus already had some fish on the fire. He was already cooking the fish. Even before they obeyed, he was preparing the breakfast. And he invited the disciples to bring some of the fish that they caught to put with his fish. Now think about it. Jesus provided the fish, and he's inviting them to bring some of their fish to add to his fish. Doesn't he do the same thing with our interests, our talents? He gives that to us, and he says, bring that and add it to what I'm going to do with you. He invites us to partnership. He allows us to participate in his work by using those interests and talents that he's already given us. Are you using your interests and talents in service to other people in the name of Christ? I hope you are. So he wants us to partner with him in this life, and he wants to partner with us. It works both ways. He does his part, and he expects us to do our part along with him. Now, suppose Jesus is a partner in your business or in your household. Would you do anything any differently? You ought to already be doing it as if Jesus was your partner. So technically, you ought not do anything any differently because you're already doing that as a follower of Christ. You have invited him in, and you are working with him. If you want to thrive in following Jesus, if you want to find that sweet spot, then let him be the controlling partner in your life, in your business, in your marriage, in every aspect of your life. Let him be the controlling partner because he invites us to partnership. Well, the last lesson is they're all important, but this one is so important. Finding the sweet spot in following Jesus involves understanding grace. Grace. Look at verse 12. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, he took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. And when we read that, we are reminded of Jesus feeding the multitude. We're reminded of the communion of Jesus with the disciples. But we're also reminded of that final banquet, our ultimate banquet where we will be served in heaven, the banquet table of our Lord. I grew up in a home where my mom cooked breakfast every morning. Before school, before Sunday school, every morning she cooked grits, eggs, bacon, biscuits, sometimes pancakes, sometimes waffles. But there was always scrambled eggs and grits and all of it. And we woke up every morning to that smell. And there's nothing like the aroma of breakfast to wake you up. Add in there a little bit of coffee. And some of you know that experience. Cereal doesn't smell quite the same. But if you enjoy a full breakfast or ever have, you know what I'm talking about. You have experienced that. Imagine what the disciples experienced when they walked on that shore and they smelled the breakfast that Jesus was cooking. And where did he get the bread? Where did that bread come from? Something to think about. But he had fish. Where did he get the fish? But he was preparing a breakfast of fish and bread. But that's not the important thing. Jesus is preparing breakfast for a group of men who had deserted him just a few days before. They had walked out on him. But Jesus is preparing breakfast for them. I said this event was similar to the one in Luke 5 when Jesus called his disciples, with one major difference. Of all the commentaries I studied on this passage, only one made this observation. That was of Tim Keller. In Luke 5, when Peter sees the miraculous catch, he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." But here, when Peter saw the miraculous catch, what does he do? He jumps in the water to get to Jesus as fast as he can. He didn't want to wait for the boat to get there. He couldn't wait to get to Jesus. What's the difference? Well, early on, Peter didn't understand grace, but now he does. Peter has an understanding of grace. See, sin makes us want to run away from Jesus. But only when we become aware of his grace do we know that we can get close to Jesus. And we want to be as close to him as we possibly can. So instead of wanting to run away from him, we want to run to him like Peter did. Are you running away from Jesus? Turn around and run to him. And would you think about God's grace that welcomes you in to the fellowship, into the communion? The disciples, they failed in their obedience. Yet Jesus comes to them and he invites them in. He initiates this. He always takes the initiative in our relationship. Jesus is initiating this. I said I'd come back to obedience. You and I won't be faithful in our obedience either. We won't. But Jesus is faithful for us. He is faithful and obedient in our place. And for that reason, that's why we want to get as close to him as we can. And only understanding grace will allow you to do that. Because he is otherwise a consuming fire. But only under his grace can we approach him. And do we approach him? Because he invites us to. Without that understanding of grace, you don't want to get anywhere near Jesus. In fact, you don't even want to be near Christians. You don't want to commit to his church. Because it exposes too much of who you really are. Your sinful self. But don't you see? In grace, you come as you are, a sinner saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus. So where do you stand? Have you found that sweet spot? And maybe the greatest sweet spot of all is just understand God's grace and the grace of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, this is your word that teaches us about your grace, your plan. And for that, Lord, we are thankful. And may the lives that we live be a response to your grace. Help us to understand that we don't have to earn our way. You've already earned it for us. And because you have, Lord, help us then to commit our lives to follow you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening, and if you would like to know more about how you can live out this life that Jesus modeled for us and the grace that he shares, we would love to help you out with that. You can find our contact information in the show notes down below, or you can find them on our website at fbcamericas.org. And tune in next week as we continue our journey through John's Gospel.